WA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. We start with Daniel from New York and his encounter of a silver object that hovered about 100 feet in the air above his uncle's farm in Virginia. Then we head west to hear from Ted in the state of Colorado, and he will be sharing a series of odd events that happened on a stretch of highway in Colorado that started with strange lights in the sky. Okay, let's give shout-outs to everyone that has left a 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts this week. And they are Dogfoothead, Mike Breedlove, Shanda H, Z Annie, and Believy Lindy. Thank you guys, I really appreciate it. The more ratings and reviews, the better. So if you can spare a minute and you haven't already done so, please leave a review. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
How are we?
Excellent, thank you. You're calling from New York tonight.
Yes, Long Island, New York.
Long Island, New York, great. Now, you're here to share an experience which happened when you were about 12, 13 years old?
Yes.
Would you like to start at the beginning for us, please, Daniel?
Yeah, of course. So, I'd say my whole thing with UFOs started, I was in like second grade. This wasn't when the experience was. This was just, you know, this little backstory for you guys. I was in about second grade and I was absolutely terrified of aliens. Like it kept me up at night, you know, and I remember my cousin made me sit down and watch this documentary about, you know, the Nevada incident, and it just scared me to my core. And I was terrified. I shared a room with my younger brother. He was 9 years old at the time, yes. And I used to make him sleep next to the window because I wouldn't sleep next to the window because I was scared I'd be abducted through my window. And I told my mom that, and she just laughed at me, and she was like, "You're ridiculous." Like, and, you know, if one of you guys were to get abducted, wouldn't you want to protect your little brother? You know, wouldn't you want it to be you? So, you know, regardless, I've always been, you know, it kept me up at night. And it would stop me from going to school sometimes. And my mom actually called my teacher, Mr. Sussman. I'll never forget the conversation. We were walking in the hallway. I was a line leader. And he pulled me aside. And he was like, you know, your mom called me about aliens. And, you know, I'm telling you, they're not real. You know, obviously, I mean, he was lying. Because if you think aliens aren't real, I think that's pretty ignorant. And especially to be in the education field and, you know, say that to someone, you know, but obviously, I think he was just trying to help me feel a little better about my situation. But so, you know, a couple years go by and I have family that lives all over the country. My uncle, my mom is one of six. So one of my uncles lives in Virginia and he works on a farm, and so he has a lot of space for all of my family because my mom's one of six. There's like 50 cousins, you know, so we're a very big family, and we would all go to the farm for Thanksgiving. And so one year we went to, you know, I mean, this was an almost every year, every other year, mostly every year, but sometimes every other year, we would go to the farm and we would play Manhunt every night. And I remember normally we would play in pairs because there's so many of us, you know, it was just easier and it was safer, so no one got lost. But this one night, not everyone wanted to play. There was only like 20 of us playing. So it was too small to play in pairs. So we were kind of just playing in solos. And, you know, I was a little scaredy cat. So I stayed as close as I could to the house. But I was off by myself. I was off by my own. There was this big compost pile. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but compost is basically like, you know, garbage from food, scraps, like orange peels, like, what's left of the onion, you know, when you finish using it, or like mulch, you know, it's this big pile of food. Well, like rotting food, you know, that you want to break down into the ground. So I was hiding behind this like 7-foot compost pile. I was laying down prone and I kind of like felt something. I don't really know how to explain. It was kind of like a gentle wind. And then I started to hear like a whooshing sound. I was like in my head, you know, I was kind of scared to look up because, you know, I kind of knew in my head what it was before, like, I had to even look at it. And then I looked up and there was just this like silver reflective plate just over like probably 150 feet above me. It had to be at least 30 yards big, you know, 30, 40 yards big. It was huge. Like that, you know, that was the diameter of it. But yeah, so I see this plate above me. And at first I was like frozen, and it was weird because there's no lights. Like, you know, when you think UFO, you kind of think light beam, you know, something. It wasn't like that. It was just a silver plate, and I could barely see it. I saw it, you know, I just saw it because of the reflection of, like, you know, the stars off the plate and the night sky. But it was a very dark, dark silver. And so, at first I was kind of like frozen. I didn't really know what to do. And then as soon as I was able to get up and run, I ran back to the house as fast as I could. You know, I got back and it was just, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know, you know, and here I am, this little kid. I didn't think anyone would believe me. But, you know, of course, I'm going to go tell my mom. And, you know, so I'm trying to tell her, like, you know, I saw this thing. Like, I don't know what it was. You know, I think it was a UFO. And of course, she, you know, pushed it down. Like, nah, like, you're lying. You know, there's no way there's a UFO. You know, we all would have saw it. But I know what I saw. And so when we were all going to sleep that night, you know, I went and I slept with her because I just couldn't sleep alone. I was terrified. And I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but I remember the next night, you know, call me crazy, but the eyes of the pigs, there were pigs that were kind of kept in a pen that were close to the campfire that we would all hang out at night. And the eyes of the pigs were like red. And it was the scariest thing. I'll never forget seeing it. And my cousin saw it too. He's a year older than me. He didn't see the UFO, but he definitely saw the eyes of the pigs. And we like kind of ran back to tell everyone. And again, you know, they kind of just pushed it down. But, you know, seeing that UFO that night was traumatizing to me, you know, not to the point where it hurts, but it definitely haunts me. And I'll never be able to unsee that image that I saw that night. You know, it comes up in my dreams. It'll, you know, sometimes even I'll just drift away and I'll just, you know, be in that position again, looking up at that dark sky, seeing that UFO. It was terrifying.
Could you actually make out any detail of the object?
So I saw it was kind of like a symbol. So, you know, like what symbols are on drums, like, you know, the little, you know, brass symbol. It looked kind of like that, except it was silver. And it even had like the lines like around like how a symbol would have those little like indentation lines in it. That's it literally looked like a huge symbol that was silver.
Okay, and you said 30 to 40 yards.
Yeah, and I don't really have anything to compare it to. That's just what I'm, you know, going back on it. I kind of couldn't even do the measurements in my head at the moment. It's kind of just like I can remember seeing it. And the only thing I could compare it to was there was a big tree next to me and it was above the tree. And so that's why that's the only thing I can kind of compare it to. So, yeah, I'd say about 30, 40 yards. But like I said, the weird thing was there was no lights. There wasn't even really like there was a light whoosh sound and there was a light gust of wind around me. But it wasn't even circular or anything. I could just feel it was there. Then that's it, you know?
OK. To our foreign listeners, 30, 40 yards, that's about 90 to 120 feet, I think. So, yeah, it's quite a size.
Yes, no, it was pretty big. And, you know, it was very scary to see something, you know, especially when I've been, you know, they've always kind of haunted me as far as, you know, like even, you know, in my own home, being scared of seeing one, you know. And now I'm not even in my own home. I'm by myself alone in this, you know, huge field. And all I have is his compost pile to hide behind. And it's above me even, you know, if there was anything looking at me, it definitely saw me.
And are you still scared? Are you still scared of aliens?
Not so much scared. Like, yeah, of course, the thing that scares me is that we don't know, you know, we don't know what's out there or what they are or what they even are capable of. But I've come to the acceptance that they're out there, you know, regardless of whether I'm scared of them or not, they're out there. And to be scared, you know, I can't live my whole life fear. So it's kind of just an acceptance, you know. I, you know, not that I'm okay with it, but, you know, you kind of have to accept it because it's reality.
You ever thought about going back and telling your old teacher what you saw?
You know, I haven't, but actually, maybe I should. I don't know if he still works at the school, but that would actually be a really interesting conversation.
Say, hey, man, you lied to me.
You lied to me, and it's your fault. I was scared.
You're an educator.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they are part of the problem.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I mean, still to this day, you know, I mean, I should really have a conversation with my uncle about it and see maybe he's seen some things working on the farm. He's been on that farm for 30 plus years, so maybe he has seen some things and maybe he's just not sharing it. But what I know for a fact what I saw, and the fact that I can't unsee it is how I'm so sure that I did see it.
Is he the type of person where you can strike up a conversation like this?
Yeah, and he actually, before he was a farmer, he majored in psychology. So, you know, he was actually trying to be a family therapist. So, you know, he's definitely someone I could talk to about it. I just, you know, at the time, my mom made me feel so small about it, you know, that I didn't really want to talk to anyone else about it. I kind of just shrugged it off. You know, I kept telling myself it didn't happen. But, you know, telling yourself it didn't happen when you can see it every time you close your eyes, you know, doesn't really work.
Yeah, maybe drop into conversation next time you speak to him, because like there's a lot of strange things which happen out there in rural Virginia.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why I also feel like I wasn't just seeing things, because I feel like if there's anywhere that I was going to see it, that would have been the perfect place and time to see it.
Yeah, especially out of the city.
Yeah, no, he was he lives by Orange County. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if it's Orange County or just Orange, Virginia, but he lives out there. So it's a very small town, and then it's just surrounded by farms.
Great living out in the country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's a great time every time I go there, you know, but, you know, like every time I go there, I can go sit in that same spot and see what I saw, you know, 7, 8 years ago.
They could have just been inquisitive, you know?
Yeah.
Who's this down here? What's he up to?
Oh, yeah, exactly. They're waiting for me.
And you were gone.
Yep. And, you know, like I said, whatever, if there was anything looking at me, it definitely saw me. And, you know, that opened my mind to, like, it kind of, in a sense, you know, as traumatizing as it was kind of like closure in a way. You know, it was kind of like, okay, they're there. You know, whatever it is, I have to accept it and deal with it. And the fact that I wasn't abducted or anything, thank God. You know, I was just left alone. They left me alone. They were just there. You know, maybe that was supposed to happen. You know, maybe it was supposed to help me come to terms with it.
Very possibly. Or they were going to make contact with you and you legged it.
Exactly. I totally messed it up. Yeah, it's not even worth it. Now there's too many people involved. He blew it.
Exactly. That's great, Daniel.
There was something else I wanted to say. Oh, I remember. Okay. So part of why I never was able to come out and talk to anyone on a bigger level than my mother was because I was scared, you know, in a way that me opening my mouth would make me a target, you know, that they would want to, you know, now that it's publicly known that I you know, that I saw a UFO, that they would come for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's always been a eerie thing in my head. But, you know, as I get older, it's more intriguing to me to, you know, have experienced that than to keep it hidden, you know, out of fear.
You know, actually, one of my previous guests, he had an innate fear of aliens as well.
It's, I mean, and part of what's so scary about it is the unknown. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, you know, there's no solid proof of anything. There's no, you know, as far as the public knows, there's been no encounters, you know? So it's like, it could literally be whatever your mind shapes it to be. You know, you give it as much power as you want to. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, it is a fear of the unknown.
And, you know, I have bad anxiety, and part of my anxiety is just like, you know, when things aren't in my control. And I think that's part of what made me freak out so much about that situation was like, I'm out of control. There's bigger beings and powers involved in this situation that's not me, you know, and I just had to accept that in the moment. And it was hard for me, and it still is hard for me, you know, that there's bigger pieces in play than us.
Like when you look at the size of the Earth and then the size of the universe, any problems that people really have, you think really it's really small.
I've actually fainted trying to think about the insignificance of our size. Whenever, like, if I ever try and get in my own head and picture the world, you know, like from a like outer space view, like I can't look at YouTube videos, I can't look at pictures, I can't look at anything from like an outsider's view of what we are here, or else I get in my own head and I get lightheaded, I get dizzy, you know, it's really bad.
Well, I wish you all the best. All right, brother.
That's all good. No worries. Have a good night. Thank you so much again.
Hello, my name is Ben Lovegrove, and I've created a course called Beginner's Guide to Ufology, UFO Studies, and UAP. Are you interested in the subject of UFOs, but bewildered by the amount of information online? Would you like a quick crash course on the basics for an existing project, article, or book? I've been interested in these subjects for over 40 years. In that time, much has happened, and recent events have turned the spotlight onto these mysteries. Join me as I describe how to identify real UFOs and how to rule out other explanations. Possible explanations for the phenomenon. Possible links between consciousness and UFOs. Go to udemy.com/user/Ben Lovegrove. And enroll today.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app. Free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I'd like to welcome Ted to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for joining us today, Ted, and from Colorado.
Yep, here in Durango, Colorado.
Lovely. Now, Ted, you had one strange night. Would you be kind enough to start at the very beginning for us, please?
Sure, yeah. So I'll kind of set the scene of how I usually would travel this particular stretch of road. But I moved from Colorado Springs to Durango with my wife and her two children. And my son, our youngest son, still lives back in Colorado Springs. So we travel back there quite a bit to pick him up, bring him back, spend time there, et cetera. And I would always take this one particular road, which if you're not familiar with the area, it's probably about a 5.5 hour drive. Maybe not all that many miles, maybe 225 or so, but a lot of mountains and slow driving. So it takes about 5.5 hours kind of to get there. And so, typically, cause I don't have a lot of time off work, I would drive over, drop him off and then turn around and come back in one trip. So about 11, 12 hours round trip. Most of the time I would leave early in the morning, like 4 a.m. so I could get back at a decent time, still have a little bit of a day left. But for whatever reason, this one particular trip, my stepson, who was probably 17, 18 at the time, this is about 3 years ago, and we headed over. We're taking my son back, and we get all the way there. We drop him off. It was probably about 8 p.m. when we dropped him off, and so we probably wouldn't get home until after midnight. Everything was normal. Like I said, we're driving back. We get to Walsenburg, which is on I-25, if you're familiar with Colorado at all, and we headed west on Highway 160. And Highway 160 is a pretty long road. And from Walsenburg, the first area that we mountain pass that we would hit is called La Vida Pass. And so we were driving down 160. And like I said, it may have been 11 p.m. I'm not sure. Kind of, it's been a long drive. We're both kind of tired and just driving down this particular stretch of road. And it was one of those nights that at the mountain, you could see like that it would be darker, like no stars or anything in the distance, but above us the skies were still clear. So we were heading into some sort of storm front. We're driving along, and just out of the corner of my eye to the left, I see this kind of flash of a light. And like a lot of your guests, it was blue and white, brilliant colors, very bright, and it flashed and stayed there for a minute. And if I had to estimate like how far away this was, I'd say maybe 20 miles in the distance, just kind of up on the horizon. And it started coming towards us, and I hadn't said anything yet to my stepson in the car, and we were just kind of sitting there, and I was watching it, and it really came at us really quick and grew in size probably 10 times. And so it started off at one size, and then by the time it was at its most visible, was about 10 times the size that I originally had seen it. And then it, as fast as it came to us, it probably from that 20 miles away to where I would say maybe 2 miles away, it was maybe 3 seconds of it kind of increasing in size and getting closer. And then it disappeared in the same direction as fast as it came. And then it was just gone. And I didn't say anything, and I was just sitting there, and my stepson looked at me. He goes, "What was that?" And I was like, "You saw that too?" And he was like, "Yeah, I saw it." He goes, "What was that?" And I was like, I said, "I don't know. I said, I don't know what that is." I mean, we listened to, as I mentioned to you, we've listened to some podcasts before. And so we talked about these things every once in a while. And so we kind of started talking about like, you know, was it a UFO? And as we're driving along, we're about 15 miles from heading up the La Vida Pass that I was referring to. And so we were kind of sitting there in disbelief a little bit. Wasn't a shooting star. I mean, I've seen plenty of those in my life. I've seen plenty of airplanes. I've seen plenty of helicopters. I used to do Department of Defense contracting, so I've been around military bases much of my life, and I've never seen anything this speed or brightness or anything. I couldn't describe exactly what it would have been. So we kind of got to a point to where we were done talking about it, but still both kind of a little freaked out about it. And just as I was, you know, I was kind of thinking about it, about to head up to La Vida Pass, you could see clouds, like I'd mentioned, kind of hanging over about, I don't know, a quarter mile ahead of us, that we were about to go into some really kind of deep fog. And like mountains hanging or clouds hanging over the mountains. And something ran across the road in front of us that I caught the back 3/4 of. So I didn't see where the head would have been, but I saw the back half of this. I won't call it an animal because I'd call it a creature. It ran. If you're familiar with how like an alligator or a crocodile runs when it's on land, that kind of slinking side to side, but its legs moving. It was going across the road probably at 10, 15 miles an hour, really low to the ground, moving pretty fast. And the makeup of this thing was, like I said, kind of really low, belly low to the ground, legs out to the side, but maybe 2 or 3 inches off the ground so it could still run. And the back, the tail of this thing, like the only thing, like when I got home and I kind of looked this thing up or tried to figure out what this thing could have been, the closest thing that I came up with was a red panda, like the way the tail looked.
like a very bushy tail with stripes on it. And I couldn't tell you what color the stripes were, because it happened so fast, and I was still kind of freaked out about what we had just seen. So it ran in front of us. And again, I was like, did you see that? And to my stepson, he's like, yeah, what was that? And I asked him, what did you see? And he said, I saw a really big bushy striped tail. And I was like, okay, I saw that too, you know? And so kind of confirmed with each other that that's what we had seen. And so what his sighting was is the same thing that mine was. And so now we're really kind of creeped out a little bit. You know, we're heading up into this pass. It's now really foggy, really dark. Headlights don't do a whole lot of good. You know, when you're driving and you're switching from bright to dim lights to see which one's going to be better for you to see, because you're not seeing very well at all with either one of them. So we're driving over this mountain pass, and I'd say it's about probably 10 to 15 miles long, until you're completely over the top and then down to the bottom on the other side of this mountain pass. And along the way, there's probably only three or four pull-off spots. So if you have car trouble, that's the places that you would pull over, is kind of in these three or four spots. When we do this drive, we even more so at this point, we don't go that direction anymore, but we don't typically stop and go into, especially at middle of the night and things like that, go into the gas stations, go to the restroom. We'll just pull off on the side of the road and go there. You can hike back into the mountains a little bit and do it that way. So we're going to pull over in the first stop because we both had to go to the restroom, but there was a car already pulled over. And I'd slowed down, I couldn't see very far at all. So we had slowed down prior to this coming up. So we were going pretty slow at this point. And we looked over, and the car that was parked there, there was no lights on whatsoever. Not even like dash lights, not a cell phone or anything like that. And the hood was open. And there was a figure standing in front of the car, looking into the engine like he was looking to see what was wrong with this car. But he had no light, no flashlight, no cell phone, no anything. And so by the time I got past him, I was thinking, that was kind of strange. You know, I guess, should I stop to see if this guy needs help? And so there's not really a lot of good spots to turn around on this thing. It's a real windy road. Occasionally there's two lanes on one side, but one on the other. But for the most part, it's one lane each way on this highway. And so we pull up to the second pull off and we slow down again. And the exact same thing was happening at this pull off. A car broken down, a guy standing in front of it, hood open, looking in it, zero lights whatsoever. And so we're both starting to get kind of creeped out again. We're, you know, it's like if we see one doing that, it's no big deal. But after what we had seen with the creature and the light, it started to become more of a big deal to us. And so we didn't turn around. Obviously, we kept going, and we get to the third pull off, and the same thing was happening. Another car pulled over, hood open, looking into it, no lights whatsoever. And like I said, this is one of the darkest nights I've ever experienced in my life. And so we continue on and get to the other side of the pass and finally pull over and kind of gather ourselves and kind of talk about what we saw and consider turning around to go back and look and try to film some of this. But we were a little too, you know, I think I've heard plenty of people say that in the moment, you're not always thinking of that. You're just kind of thinking of, wow, this is what's going on, and your mind doesn't really process it all at the speed that maybe it should. And until you're past it, then you kind of start realizing a little bit more, putting a little bit more of the pieces together. But that's basically it. I mean, you know, like I mentioned, one of these experiences by itself is kind of strange, but not that big of an issue. But all three of these different kind of events combined really made it for one of the strangest nights of my life. And when we go to pick up my son in Colorado Springs, we do not take that way anymore. We found another way that's about 30 minutes longer, but we are fine to take that amount of time. And we try to never go at night at this point either. We always try to go where we're coming back through all those areas during the daytime. And, you know, to add to this, when I got back home, I was still kind of wired from everything that had happened. So I immediately started kind of researching. First thing I looked for was that animal, and I tried to find it. And that's where I kind of found that it was maybe most closely identified with like a red panda. But I also found out that that stretch of highway from Walsenburg to past over La Vida Pass is where a lot of the original cattle mutilation stories kind of originated, right in that same area of the country. And then I further found that on the other side of La Vida Pass is where the UFO watchtower is, where an individual has actually set up a place where people can come and, if you're not familiar with it, come and drop off gifts to UFOs and things like that. And it's the reason it's set up there is because it's one of the more heavily concentrated UFO sighting areas in the world. You know, I kind of made my story have a little bit more believability to me. And but yeah, that's basically it. And like I said, I don't travel on that path anymore. I go a different way.
And that is quite understandable.
Yeah. It's you know, it's like, I think I have a decent feeling around the events. Like, they didn't seem sinister, but they definitely seemed like we were singled out for a particular reason. And one thing I failed to mention is the entire trip over La Vida Pass, we didn't pass another single car. And now, it was late at night, it was dark, you know, all of those things, but not another single car that was moving. At least there was the three that I mentioned, but none were actually moving and operational.
I think that part of Colorado is actually quite active, like you said about the watchtower. I mean, the watchtower is there for a reason.
Yeah. It's about as wide open skies as you could possibly imagine, kind of in the valley in between mountain ranges. And it's sometimes the sky is so bright you can't even see the darkness because there's so much that you can see in the sky.
Very little light pollution, if any.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking earlier about the quality of air. It's probably the most pristine air you can think of too. No big cities around or anything like that. It's especially on a crisp, cool night, sometimes you can feel like you could see across the entire universe out there.
UFO landing actually in La Vida.
Oh, really?
Back in the early 90s, I believe it landed on some farm, I think a farm property, I think it was.
Yeah, I think that may have kind of been some of that cattle mutilation stuff. It was all, you know, obviously the wide open pastures and plains out there in between the mountains. So, but no, I hadn't heard that, but I wouldn't doubt it after what I've seen.
Going back to the light you saw, when you first saw it, it was 20 miles away in the distance?
Yeah, it's hard to really figure, but that's what I estimated whenever I was, you know, like as far as like distance wise. And then when it came closer, I mean, I had to make some assumptions, like if the size that I saw it at its closest was respective of the size it was, then yeah, I would say about 20 miles away is what I estimated.
How close do you reckon it actually got to you?
Probably 2 miles, about 2 miles away. But it definitely seemed like it was headed directly towards us and then got to a certain point and then just turned around and just right back to where it was and went away. Yeah, it was, and like I said, blue and bright white. You know, I researched ball lightning and all of that kind of stuff. It didn't fit with any of those stories.
No, it doesn't sound like ball lightning at all. Size-wise, at its closest point to you?
Yeah, if it was, I would probably say it was about, I don't know, 75 yards long, you know, or, you know, and I couldn't even really get a shape. Maybe that would be the diameter of it would be about 75 yards because it seemed circular, but more in a way of a, when you look at the sun, it looks like a circle, not like a flat disc or saucer shape. It was like just a ball of light, like the sun kind of coming directly at us and then disappearing, but different colors.
Interesting. Maybe it was inquisitive. Wanted to know what was going on down there.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's like when I kind of went back and kind of put everything together, it really seemed like, you know, maybe sort of it had some sort of you know, EMT power or, you know, like a shut off electronics since those cars were all broken down. But
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
You know, the guys that were looking in the cars, if I had to kind of explain what they looked like, it would be kind of in that Men in Black mode, you know, just that kind of a generic looking man that almost was like, you know, someone read what a person would look like dealing with their car and they were kind of placed there, you know, to kind of look like they weren't inconspicuous or anything. But in doing that, they like look very conspicuous. So,
and they had no lights because obviously if they're under the hood, they're going to need some form of light.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's basically a futile exercise, in my opinion, to be looking into the hood at that time of night in that kind of darkness with no ability to see anything. It's like, there's no point to it other than to be pretending like you're on the side of the road doing something when you're actually doing something else.
Could you actually get a make of the cars?
No, they were all small. If I had to kind of put a make and model on them, I would say like a little small Toyota Corolla kind of car, just a very non-descriptive car that would blend in with pretty much every other car out there.
Kind of generic.
Yeah.
I mean, I've driven long distances before across long stretches of land. You do see the odd person, but you don't turn a corner, then you see another, and then another.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like and that's, you know, I have a lot of experience doing these long distance kind of trips. So, you know, I feel like I'm pretty aware of my surroundings. I've kind of got it, you know, when I was doing the Department of Defense job, I would be responsible for the state of Alaska. So I would drive from Fairbanks to Anchorage and back. And then also from when I was in Nevada, I would do Reno, Nevada to Las Vegas, Nevada. So long, remote stretches. I've done a lot of that driving. And, you know, I started trying to come up with reasons as to why or what. Maybe my brain was playing tricks on me. Maybe I was tired. Maybe I was just really fatigued. And, you know, so that kind of to me can explain one of those, but not all three of those instances happening at the same time, and not my stepson seeing the exact same things that I did. But I kept trying to come up with reasons and an explanation for it, but still don't have one to this day.
I mean, some could say that maybe you'd got lost and you were just going in circles, because it goes over the mountain. It's one long, long road. You know, there's no way you'd be going in circles and seeing the same car.
Yeah, and you know, and I've kind of thought of all those things too. It's like, you know, maybe there was some sort of time slip, or maybe that's like an area where you can come in and out of certain dimensions, and it's just like one of those portal type areas, and maybe that's why there's a lot of sightings there. But definitely saw some things that appeared to have slipped over into our world that I'd never seen before.
And go into this creature, animal wise up in Colorado, I think what the closest to anything having like a bushy tail would what maybe be a cougar or a coyote.
Yeah, so I, you know, that my initial thought was raccoon, but it was, I mean, I've seen some big raccoons around here, but it was probably five times as big as the largest raccoon here I've seen. And the raccoons I've seen here are the size of, say, maybe maybe like a dog comparison, like a border collie type size, you know, like not as tall, but pretty, pretty good size. And another one I came up with was a badger. But the tail was nothing similar to it. But, you know, I was thinking, well, from the way it ran standpoint, that could kind of explain it a little bit. But again, size wise, you know, I want to use the word slither, but I could see legs moving.
You know, so it's like it slithered, but it ran. And like I said, every once in a while when the mood strikes me, I kind of just have a lull at work or something. My mind will go to it and I'll start researching it again. And I just can't find anything that anywhere near fits the description, especially in animals native to Colorado.
You're driving down the highway. It's dark. It's late at night. Your headlights are on. Something passes in front of you. You know, you don't really have time to take in a whole lot of detail.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and like I said, so that's like, you know, I kind of wonder how much of it am I adding to it, or am I piecing some of that into the story to, you know, I don't know, but it, you know, it's like that at that moment in time we were, you know, I know I saw a big bushy striped tail and I know I saw the way it moved. And I, like I said, I couldn't see really colors because of the night time and how dark it was, but definitely different than anything I've seen. And I, you know, I grew up hunting. I grew up being in the outdoors all the time. If there's an animal in this country, I've seen it. You know, I've seen bobcats, I've seen lynx, I've seen mountain lions, I've seen badgers and, you know, javelinas, and I've seen them all, and this was nothing like any of those.
There is a lot of strange things out there in them woods.
Yes, there are. Yeah. And like I said, since moving to this particular area, we've seen some things that we can't explain. And you know, my wife says that I didn't see it, but she said she saw a Bigfoot, and what she would say the Bigfoot's child. When we were, there's a mountain ski resort up here called Purgatory, and back behind Purgatory, there's lots of, you can go fishing back there, and that's what we generally do. We'll go back there and go fly fishing. And we were heading out after fishing, and we had both made this comment when we were coming back, and we came back to our car a different way than we had left. And when we got back, on our way back to the car, we had passed through this part of the woods that just, you stepped into this part of the woods and it just felt different. You know, the sounds were different because there were zero sounds, and the air felt a little bit heavier. And we're walking and we come up to this, it looked kind of maybe like a dream catcher type thing that like you see sometimes hanging in the trees in this particular area. And it was a large circular thing that was made, and it had some twine tied across it and some symbol drawn or made out of the twine. And so we were kind of, let's just get out of here. You know, that's the kind of thought we had. And so we got out, got in the car, and she made a glance back as we're kind of putting that behind us. And she said, at the edge of that part of the woods, she swears, and she would tell you again herself today, that she saw a Bigfoot and what she would call its child standing there just kind of watching us drive off. I didn't see it, but that's just kind of the thing that adds to a lot of this stuff in this particular area. We've seen some things that if we told our families, we'd be considered the crazy ones of the family, I think.
I think the lucky ones, I think, more than anything else. I mean, to see a Bigfoot and a juvenile.
Yeah, you know, it's like I consider it lucky, and I, you know, I'm a believer at this point. You know, I would, every time I'm out in those particular areas, I'm looking, you know, I because I believe that kind of stuff is out there now at this point, and so I'm always a little bit more observant when I'm out and about.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, they are definitely out there, that's for sure. I mean, all over the country. I don't think people realize how many sightings there actually are of Bigfoots.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple other people saying they've seen them, but I've never seen one, and so that's still on my bucket list, and I probably won't get to check that box though.
To all our listeners, anyone who lives in the area, Colorado area, if you've experienced anything along this stretch of the highway, get in contact. It'd be interesting to hear any other stories of these very strange occurrences.
I would be as well. I would love to hear someone else come on and kind of confirm that they've seen something similar.
That is great, Ted.
But yeah, appreciate for you having me on and taking the time to hear my story.
Interesting. I mean, when you first sent me the email, like the title of this episode suggests, it was One Strange Night.
It was strangest night of my life to date. Yeah, a lot of Indian legends and things like that. This is kind of pretty close to where a lot of you see the cave drawings and things of
of UFOs, and we're right near Mesa Verde, where, you know, the Anastasi Indians just kind of disappeared overnight. And so, yeah, there's some history here for sure. All right. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on today. That is an interesting one.
Glad it was. And I'll be listening to the episodes up until then as well. So appreciate it.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you or a family member has had an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or head to my website and connect with me there via the contact page. And definitely check out the Beginner's Guide to Ufology course over at udemy.com by Ben Lovegrove. I enrolled yesterday and I'm very impressed. It comes with about 11 sections and 37 lectures. So for just $24.99, you get full lifetime access and you will also receive a certificate of completion at the end. It is perfect for beginners and novices. Interested? You can find the link below in the show notes and on my website. Big thank you to Daniel and Ted for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.